While we often think about the many differences that separate the world in which Jesus lived from the world in which we live, there are many more similarities than we might realize between the two worlds at first glance. One of those similarities is that both Jesus and you and I live in a world marked by sharp social divisions. Jesus, for instance, lived in a world where people were divided into camps, labeled Jew or Gentile, male or female. And we, too, live in a world marked by similar division, a world where labels such as citizen or immigrant, haves or have-nots, keep us separated into camps as well. Every once in a while, however, someone or something comes along that challenges those divisions and reminds us that we are all the same. The past 10 days, for instance, something known as COVID-19 came along and reminded us that it didn't matter what label we wore or what label society had assigned to us, we were all at risk for infection. That awful virus has proven to be a great social leveler. In this morning's gospel reading, we are introduced to another great leveler, a man that came along and obliterated the great dividers of his day, nationality and gender. So listen as I read this morning's story from the Gospel of John. And then, when I finish, let's come back together and see what we can learn from this great leveler, Jesus. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 26, as read from the Common English Bible. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, get your husband and come back here." The woman replied, "I don't have a husband." "You are right to say I don't have a husband," Jesus answered. "You've had 5 husbands, and the man you are now with isn't your husband. You've spoken the truth." The woman said, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped in this mountain, but you and your people say that it is necessary to worship in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you and your people will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You and your people worship what you don't know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. But the time is coming and is here when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. The Father looks for those who worship him this way. God is spirit, and it is necessary to worship God in spirit and truth. The woman said, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will teach everything to us." Jesus said to her, "I am the one who speaks with you." Thus ends the gospel reading for the day. So, I've already alluded to one of the greatest lessons we followers of Jesus can take from the story. That Jesus calls us to look beyond the great dividers like race, religion, and gender that the world would use to keep us separated from one another. So what's another lesson that can be taken from the passage? Well, that lesson comes to us from verses 16 through 18 of this morning's text. It's that portion of the passage where Jesus lets the woman know that he is aware of her history. That is my favorite piece of the passage. Your favorite piece of the passage, I can hear some of you gasp. Why? Well, let me tell you. In order to appreciate that piece of the text, you have to overcome a bias that many of us learned or were taught regarding those words. When Jesus points out that the woman has been married five times, there is absolutely no judgment indicated there. Now, many of us were taught in Sunday school or other places that the observation itself amounted to a moral judgment of the woman by Jesus. But it did not. It was simply an observation, simply an acknowledgement of her life circumstance, which takes me to the reason I love that passage so much. For you see, those three verses tell us something powerful and transformative about what happens to us when we encounter this Jesus. In that moment, we are seen, loved, and embraced for who we truly are. And in that process of being embraced, our lives change forever. In the story, a Samaritan woman who would have assumed to be either invisible or a source of derision to a Jewish man of her day, instead became one of the leading evangelists of her time in her community. And all of that happened because she had been seen and embraced by the love of God made real through Jesus. And if that's true for the woman at the well, imagine what lies ahead for little Lucas as this day of his baptism, his parents bring him before God. And in that baptismal moment, if you listen and watch carefully, you can hear those implied words of Jesus ring across 2,000 years from the woman at the well's ears to Lucas's. "I see you, Lucas. I embrace you, Lucas. I love you, Lucas." It will be a moment that will change Lucas's life forever. And so, as we prepare now to baptize little Lucas, and as he moves from a world marked by fear and division into a world marked by God's transformative love and embrace, Lucas's mother, Lucia, has found a letter to share with him on the occasion of his baptism. Hear now that letter. "Dear Lucas, I want to tell you about the world you have been born into, a world you have scarcely seen and you did not choose. It is a world of much pain and sorrow, a world filled with the terror of violence and war, the exploitation of the earth and its people, and the ever-present sins of greed, self-centeredness, and exclusion. We are in a country where the people increasingly distrust their leaders, where long simmering tensions of race and class have so recently and publicly been brought before our eyes. This is a world and a country that so desperately needs Christ's message of healing, acceptance, and love through our own church, feels itself to be only voice, though our own church feels itself to be only voice in the narrow margins of the wilderness. So many ask today, why have children at all? Why choose to bring another helpless being into this crowded, suffering world? Why create a life that does not yet even know the words to ask, to be born, when there is no promise of safe passage, no guarantee of peace, no way to assure what all parents want, that no harm might come to you, and that your life might be better than our own? Even with these questions, our hearts still longed for you to see that this world, despite its suffering, is a world filled with laughter, beauty, and love, a world filled more with the Spirit than eyes can see. Our deliberate decision to have you has given us the clarity to see the truth of what the Church has always promised, that the propensity to fear all there is to fear in this world will always retreat in the face of hope. We hope that when you are grown, the violence and fear of today will live only in the memory of its survivors, that divisions here and abroad may be healed, that a spirit of acceptance and cooperation will rule, that the soil of the earth will provide for all, and its waters will run clean. We pray for this great unrealized future, perhaps hope against hope for it. May you find it in your life, even usher it into being, and grant it to your children and grandchildren when we are long gone. This is why we baptize you today. Our Christian story is one of hope, and our Christian calling is to live out that hope. We live out our hope with God's most essential commandment, to love, to give and receive love with gratitude. This is our simple and yet most difficult task. It is our highest calling and source of joy. With your baptism, we initiate you to the Christian family, filled with billions of people, both living and past, to join us in this journey. You will never walk on this path alone. God bless you, our child. God bless this life you have been given, and God bless us, our families, and this community as we raise you to become whoever it is that God has meant for you to be. Love, Mom and Dad.